Hey guys, Robbie here from the Big Red Express. Thanks again for pressing the download button on today's podcast. Got a great one coming up, episode 232. We are going to be reviewing the 2017 individual CrossFit events. And let me tell you something, there was so much controversy, some good stuff, some bad stuff, some stuff that I want to really dive into about these CrossFit events this year. We saw a little bit of some stuff that we've never seen before. And I'm excited to kind of break things down. Some events I'm going to talk about longer than other events. This episode probably won't be too long, but it's going to be a decent amount of time. So make sure you guys will stay tuned till the end. Got a huge announcement at the end of the podcast that you guys will not want to miss. A chance for you guys to win some free stuff. And now, who doesn't want to win some free stuff? But in order to do that, also, you guys got to go check us out on Facebook. We're just at the Big Red Express on Facebook, on Twitter at BigRedExpress01, and on Instagram, Big_Red_Express. All that and much, much more over on our social media pages. That's how you can kind of get first knowledge on things that we do, things that we say, giveaways that we do, and places where you can actually see us. We got a very busy schedule coming up over the next few months, and I guarantee you, you will not want to miss out what is going on for the Big Red Express. So the CrossFit Games have kind of winded down about a week and a half ago. We gave the kind of my review of the CrossFit Games last week on a Monday show, took a week and a half off to kind of gather my thoughts on the events. And we're just going to be talking about the individual events on this episode. I know I got some masters and some teens athletes out there that listen to the podcast. I haven't forgotten about you, but I'm just focusing on the individual events. I will focus on the teams and then the masters and teen events a little bit later on. So guys, stay tuned for that as well. I got to go into a little more depth with those. I didn't watch as many of those as I would have liked to during the CrossFit game season. A week and a half ago, but I want to go back and kind of look at them, what I thought about them, and so far. But there was not an event that I did not see for the individuals from the run, swim, run all the way to the Fibonacci final. And man, it was an exciting, really CrossFit Games. Another congratulations to Tia Claire Toomey and Matthew Fraser for winning their titles. Matt for the second straight year, Tia for the first year this year after getting two back-to-back second place finishes. But man, what an opportunity it was to sit down and watch these. And we're going to jump right into it. But first, got to give a huge shout out to Burrito Perdido, Burrito Perdido, located on Cedar Road, right across from that Hardee's in that Sunoco gas station. Guys, they've got the best food that you could ever want to eat. They're open today. Today's Wednesday. They're open from 11 to 9 every single day except for Monday. So Tuesdays through Sundays from 11 o'clock to 9 o'clock, they are open. And, man, they got burritos, chimichangas. They got tacos, quesadillas, mini burritos, California burritos. They got fries in their burritos, man. I don't know about you, but it is so good. You will probably even see me there a couple of times if you go multiple times every single month. Go check them out, Burrito Perdido, on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. So guys, kind of jumping right into these things, we're going to start with the run, swim, run. Like I said, we're going to break down these events. There's going to be some events that I talk about longer than others, but some of these I'm going to kind of just pass through, really not much to discuss. I'm going to tell you if I like it, tell you at the end of the podcast what was my favorite event, what was my least favorite event, and kind of what was the most exciting event to watch just in general. So Thursday, things started off with a run, swim, run. We didn't know what the distance for any of them were going to be until a couple days before the game started. I loved this event. I would have loved it more if they added a bike to it, made it like a little mini triathlon, but the run, swim, run, the run 1.5 miles, swim 500 meters, run 1.5 miles. I thought it played out very, very well. You could see a lot of the athletes that wanted to get out quickly because a mile and a half, they can kind of keep a good pace the whole time. And then the 500 meters, that's where people really kind of got in and really established the pace even more. It was very cool to see, you know, the struggles that some athletes had and the struggles that other athletes did not have, making up a lot of room on that 500-meter swim, I thought was the deal breaker for a lot of the athletes. Obviously, Tia Claire Toomey and Brent Fichtowski both won those events respectively for their own genders, but I thought it was a very good event. It showed kind of the sprint ability of the athletes in terms of a mile and a half, I think. Someone totally different would have won it if it was like a 5K to begin it, a 1,000-meter swim, and then a 5K back. I think that would have taken a long time, but I think that would have been exciting to watch as well. But I like the event, especially to start off the CrossFit Games. The weather wasn't ideal, but that's something that they knew kind of going in. It wasn't going to be the best weather, and you know, I think they adapted very well. I don't think the athletes really had any problems. Going down to the cyclocross, and I'm just going to throw it out there, I did not like the cyclocross. There were a lot of instances where the athletes, obviously, you know, during the time trial on Wednesday, were able to kind of get their what placings they would be in, what positions they would be. But I saw too many athletes, you know, kind of have equipment malfunctions. And honestly, in my opinion, I don't think that an equipment malfunction should make or break whether you do well in the CrossFit Games or not in the CrossFit Games. It is not someone's fault if the chain falls off their bike. That has nothing to do with how fit you are. That is just, that's the make and model of your bike. That's the way that the bike goes over the tracks. I know that there were a lot of controversy about kind of that event in general. I didn't really like it. I liked the uniqueness of it. I thought it kind of brought a new format to the CrossFit Games in terms of the cyclocross event. Just overall, I saw too many equipment malfunctions, chains coming off, athletes really, you know, biting it over some hops and things like that. I think if you take over some of that stuff, you know, the leaderboard could have been completely different. You saw a couple instances where some of the top athletes that were in the top 10 at the end of the weekend did not, you know, had some equipment malfunctions. Maybe their chains came off or something like that, and they could not make up that time because people were passing them. So in terms of this, yes, equipment malfunctions happen, but I don't think it should determine whether you get 15th place or 30th place, which could have been the opportunity and could have been the possibility for some of these athletes that had equipment malfunctions about halfway through the race. It happens for some, it doesn't happen for others, but I don't think that a loose chain or a chain coming off the gears should determine whether an athlete wins or loses the CrossFit Games or does well or doesn't do well in the CrossFit Games. It comes back to these athletes are doing, most of these athletes do this for a living. These may be the biggest paycheck they get throughout the entire year. And because of an equipment malfunction that they had no control over, they lost $10,000, $15,000. I don't think that's right. I didn't like this event at all. I thought it was unique. It was cool when they first announced it, but once I saw people go around, I kind of got shut off on that really quick. Finish it off Thursday. We didn't know what this event was until that night. Amanda, 45.45. Amanda is normally the 975 muscle-ups and squat snatches, 135.95 for the men and for the women. They added some more reps to make it 45 total. I loved this event. I thought it was unique. I thought it was kind of add that little spice to Amanda, and I love the girl workouts. It is CrossFit 101. If I had my suggestions for programming, I would tell Dave Castro, hey, there's 15 girl workouts. You have five each day. Boom. That's your CrossFit Games. Do all the girl workouts. Do maybe throw a hero workout in there once or twice. Man, that would be ideal. You can switch it up. You can make it heavier. You can make it lighter. You can make it more reps. Doesn't matter. Some variation of all the girl workouts, I thought, you know, is a very unique thing. I loved Amanda 0.45, adding a couple more rounds. And that really kind of made a big difference later on into the weekend. Before we get into Friday, I want to give a huge shout-out to CrossFit Krypton and the Ben Smith Blueprint. If you guys want to get direct programming from one of the fittest athletes in the world ever in the sport of CrossFit, Ben Smith, head on over to CrossFitKrypton.com. They've got directions and links where you guys can get a part of the Ben Smith Blueprint. Do you own a gym? Do you run an affiliate and you don't know what kind of programming to do? They've got special affiliate programming that'll take you through warm-ups and everyday programming so you guys don't have to worry about it. I know so many times athletes and people start gyms and they do not, you know, they don't really know what to do or how to do it. They spend so much time working on programming. Well, man, CrossFit Krypton's affiliate programming, the Ben Smith Blueprint, makes it so much easier for you to focus on your athletes and your training every single day. Go over to CrossFitKrypton.com to find out more information about the Ben Smith Blueprint, or also go over to the Ben Smith Blueprint on Instagram to find out more information as well. Guys, Friday started out strong. I thought kind of Friday was a very cool event. There was one thing that kind of bothered me a little bit, but for the most part, I thought it was a very interesting day. I honestly loved it. The Sprint O course started the day off, and I thought it was very unique how they did it. Just like a few years ago at Camp Pendleton, they had the, you know, you were randomly put in a heat and you kind of just went off from there. I thought it was cool. I think that a lot of the athletes were very confused about some of the standards. I know Alex Smith got no rep for touching the black when he was told that in the briefing that if you went outside of the black, that's a no rep. But, you know, if you touch the black, you were okay. I saw many people do it. He was the only person that I saw that got called for it and had to go back over the cargo net, which was the, I think the apparatus that took the longest amount of time on that Sprint O course. But other than that, other than like the little confusion, I thought it was very unique. I think you could have taken, a couple of the obstacles out and it would have been more exciting. I was very impressed to see these athletes get through that so quickly, especially some of the female athletes. They were doing the exact same obstacle course as the men were. And man, it was so cool just to see them move through it as quickly as they did and finish it in under 2 minutes, no problem. I loved it. I thought it was unique. I loved the setup and how it was a personally made obstacle course just for the CrossFit Games. I loved it. Big shout out to Rogue. They do some great stuff, and it was so much fun to watch this live on the broadcast. The One Rep Max Snatch event, they had a little bit different of a format. In years previously, they've had every athlete on the floor. Every athlete gets three attempts, and that is it. This year, a little bit different, and especially with the whole minimum required standard. You know, athletes, you know, they had to at least get one lift or they were out of the competition. That's a huge thing, especially on day two when you want to make it to the weekend. You want to make it to Saturday when you can try to do some moving day. You know, it's a lot of things going down. But I liked the one rep max snatch. It was every athlete got two attempts and then the top 10 top 10 weights made it to finals and got two more lifts. I liked that. I thought you had to use a little bit of strategy, and especially because if you were kind of on that bubble, you had to make sure that the tiebreaker was good. The total weight was good as well. But I liked the one rep max snatch. I thought, you know, we saw some PRs being put up by some of the top athletes in CrossFit and much, much more. I thought it was a very cool and unique event, right out of the gate for that one rep max snatch. The Triple G Chipper, I loved it. I thought it was unique. I thought it was CrossFit 101. Kind of a lot of movements. And at the end, you kind of have that, maybe that thing that's going to make athletes feel uncomfortable. You could tell a lot of athletes were uncomfortable, but a lot of athletes were not uncomfortable at all. It was cool to see athletes just kind of bear down and, you know, really have no problem, you know, with that and with they do what they did every single day during the event. I loved it. I loved kind of how this was event six overall, and it kind of added a thing, you know, back and forth. It was CrossFit Chipper 101, and I loved it. The Assault Banger, the surprise event, you know, going into, you know, the weekend, it's the last event. They brought back an event from 4 or 5 years ago, the Banger. And this was more of a sprint banger. They called it the Assault Banger. One of the coolest and I think one of the best performances I've ever seen from Sanchez. You know, really getting off that bike in 20 something seconds after a 40 cal bike on the assault bike and then that 20 foot banger. I thought it would have been a little bit better if you kind of, and I think this was a big thing, and a lot of people said that this was something that they, you know, right down the road, they were just like, you know, there was so much controversy when this event was being brought up for the first time going into it. And a couple of years ago when it happened, there were so many things of, oh, it's out in the sun, it's going to slide differently, it's going to be different for every person. I thought it was very well ran this year. You still have some people that kind of bear down. It's hard to show you without, you know, being a video podcast, but bearing down and kind of pulling at the same time, you got a little bit more of an advantage. But I loved, you know, it was a quick, it was kind of like the burpee box jumps or the box jump overs, sandbag cleans last year. Kind of that really, really quick event, less than maybe 2 or 3 minutes for the top athletes to kind of get done. I loved it. I thought it was unique, and I love seeing old equipment being brought back from previous games. That's going to do it for Friday. The weekend coming up Saturday, moving day. And, man, moving day this year, especially here for the Big Red Express, is brought to you by RX Pro Shop. Guys, go check them out. RX Pro Shop, located right in front of CrossFit Chesapeake in that Grassfield Shopping Center over across from Grassfield High School. They've got Stan Socks, one of the biggest selections of Stan Socks in all of Virginia, especially here in Hampton Roads. You guys will not want to make sure you guys go check them out. They got Fit Aid, Golfer Aid. Man, they got all the aids that you could ever want. Go check them out on Instagram at RX Pro Shop. And also, if you're ever in Chesapeake, go check them out right in front of CrossFit Chesapeake as well. Guys, going into the weekend, this is where things kind of got a little bit interesting for me. I thought it was, you know, I don't know. The strongman's fear, it added a little bit. It was more of a strongman with a handstand walk. In previous years, they'd have, you know, normally, you know, a few years ago, they had a handstand walk race. They had all this stuff. But this year, it was mixing strongman with a handstand walk, and really didn't, it wasn't that exciting to watch, to be honest. I remember watching it on TV, and it really was kind of, the athletes weren't moving as fast as I think people thought they were going to, and it just really wasn't that exciting to watch it. I loved watching the smaller athletes kind of pick up the equipment. I love seeing Cody Anderson and those guys that, you know, our smaller guys that may not be able to move the weight as big as they did, were able to move that 500-pound yoke, the 200-pound logs that were 200 in each hand, which is absolutely ridiculous. And then the 400-pound sled, and then especially the females to do it the same way, and a little bit lighter the weight, but still the same premise. It wasn't my favorite event to watch, but it was kind of cool to add kind of a little bit of a strongman style into it. Not sure if I like the whole, I would have loved to just see, hey, you got as fast as you can to get all implements down 300 feet, and you maybe got a handstand walk every time you got to go back instead of, you know, bringing it 150 feet, walking back, boom, 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 boom. I think if you would have, you know, said, hey, you just got to go all the way down, a little bit longer of a handstand walk. I think if you would have had to make it halfway through and then you couldn't go, or you had different tick marks like they did on the yard, it would have been a little bit better, just because you could have gotten a little bit, athletes getting a little bit more faster instead of having to pause and then go, or pause and go, and back and forth. I think that would have been a lot more exciting to watch, and you would have had a lot more sprint finishes at the end. And that's just my opinion on the strongman fear. A little bit of controversy there. I'm not sure if Brent Pitalski's, you know, he beat Matt Frazier on the final heat, but it looked like his yoke that he brought in was almost about to hit Frazier. And I would have loved to get Frazier's point of view and ask if, you know, he felt like it was about to hit him, or if he felt like that hindered his performance of going any faster, because that can kind of be, you know, in my opinion, you have a huge lane. You should have to stick in your lane with your implements, but that's just my opinion. But, you know, for the most part, it was a cool event. I liked the strongman aspect of it. But, you know, in the broad scheme of things, I thought it was kind of a little, you know, a little disorganized. And I would love to see it a little bit better. But nonetheless, I love the strongman stuff. Love watching that every single year that it's on. The muscle-up clean ladder, I thought the only thing that could have made this better if it was bar muscle-ups and they didn't have to drop down from the bar each time. I know it adds a little bit of an exciting, you know, a little bit of a more challenge that they got to drop down. But four athletes can do that really quick. I think it would have been quicker. And I think the crowd could have gotten a little bit more into it instead of the athletes kind of doing a bar muscle-up, dropping, doing a bar muscle-up. There wasn't really as much energy. I love this. That was the only thing that I could see, changing was, you know, putting one bar across for everyone, and you do four straight bar muscle ups and then two cleans. You got to run back and forth between each weight. I love seeing the smaller guys on this too. You know, Cody Anderson lifting 350, no problem. Loved it. Loved seeing Alec do well, Ben do well. But I think the only thing I would have tweaked a little bit was having the four bar muscle ups in succession, you know, four unbroken bar muscle ups instead of the four bar muscle ups one at a time. I think that's the only thing I would have changed. But for the most part, I loved seeing this event and I thought it was very, very cool. Heavy 17.5, another surprise event that Dave Castro threw out at the athletes on Saturday night. And honestly, I don't think any of the athletes really enjoyed this workout. I think it was more for the spectacle of let's get 100 barbells on the floor at once. And really, I think that's the only reason that they redid this workout. I think it was an interesting event to watch. It was fast. It was exciting. These athletes were doing heavier weights. You had some of the female athletes finish it in better times than 99% of the world on the male side during the Open. Everyone hated that workout when it was announced during the Open. I think everyone hated it even more when it was announced as a heavier version of 17.5. I've talked to some athletes a little bit here and there, but I don't think for the most part that they really enjoyed that, because no one enjoyed it really with the thrusters in the Open, and I don't think a lot of people enjoyed it during this one as well. But I think for as a fans, it was exciting. You could kind of see the athletes move up every bar, but I honestly think the only reason they did this was because they wanted the spectacle of 100 barbells and like 6.5 tons of weight, which they said about a million times, which I'm big fans of Chase Ingram and Brennan Domain, and I love them, and they're great guys. I know them personally, but man, they said 6.5 tons, 100 barbells, and told you how long it took them to transition about a million times from the first heat to the last heat, and it was a little bit excessive, but I love the spectacle of having a 100 barbells, 6.5 tons on the floor at once. It was very cool, a very cool visual, which, you know, let's be honest, the CrossFit Games, you know, you got to have some visual, and with the new partnership with CBS Sports, which I'll talk about a little bit later, yeah, I thought it was very interesting and very, very cool. I don't think anyone liked the event, but, you know, let's be honest. Who likes thrusters and double unders? No one liked it during the Open. But so that finished off Saturday. Sunday, one day left to go. The women's race was still very close. The men's race kind of being, you know, it's kind of a race for second after Matt Frazier had a very, very good, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday started out with the Madison triplet. And honestly, guys, all right. So I guess I didn't realize it until a little later on when they were like mid-broadcast. I was watching the events, and the Madison triplet started off, and they called it with the hay bales, the burpee over the hay bales, then that big yellow sandbag that they had. The sandbags, they were calling them cheese curds. And of course, yes, Wisconsin is very famous for their cheese. How you doing? And, you know, but I thought it was a little bit corny. I love the event. I thought it was an interesting event, kind of run the 400, the triplet that they had to do. But, man, was it the corniest thing ever? I don't think they would have ever had that event if they weren't in Madison, Wisconsin. I love that. But at the same time, I love that they added a little bit of personality to the CrossFit Games because they were in Wisconsin. I love the hay bales. I love that you had to jump over the hay bales. I loved how you had that kind of farmer thing. The sandbag wasn't called a sandbag. It was called a cheese curd. That they named it because they were yellow and all that stuff. But I did enjoy it. It was kind of hard to follow because if you weren't at the top of the heat, you really didn't get much coverage and you couldn't really see much what was going on. So it was hard to really follow who was where unless you were one of the top couple athletes. Going on, an event that these last two events weren't announced. These were kind of thrown at the athletes. For the first time in CrossFit Games history, we had some rest programmed into the middle of a workout. You've had it in previous workouts and previous regional workouts where you walk a handstand, you have so much more time to rest, and then you kind of go right into it, or, you know, kind of that format. But this was a 2-minute on, 1-minute off workout where You had to get as many overheads. You had to get 75 overhead squats before the final round. You had 2 minutes on, 1 minute off. You had 3 rounds of that. Then the final minute on was 3 minutes on to complete the 75 reps. I liked it from the feedback that I got from athletes and spectators and things like that. It didn't seem like the crowd was into it that much. So I don't know if kind of the whole, you know, resting and working worked for it, and maybe the CrossFit Games will change things up. This did seem to be a very critical and crucial event on the women's side. One of the judges, I guess, miscounted Cara Webb's reps. But at the same time, you can go back and say, hey, Cara Webb knew that she's done 3 at every single platform until that last one. She knew that she had 3 more to go, and she decided to run. You can go at it both ways. I'm not here to push controversy on anyone, but, you know, it seemed to be the decision maker at the end of the day, thinking that Cara Webb got second place by just 4 points, and 6 points was that kind of spread if you would have done that. So it would have been very interesting to see how that all worked out, and see if really she, you know, they added 6 seconds to her time for the 3 reps that she made, but could she have done it faster? Could she have done it, you know, slower? It really doesn't. We don't know. We will never know, because that's just kind of the way it happened. It was an interesting event. I thought it was interesting, but if the crowd really wasn't into it, you don't want to do it again, because the crowd really is what drives these athletes to do anything. And from what I've heard, the crowd was silent. They didn't really enjoy it. It didn't seem like they were really into the event during this work rest ratio thing. So maybe something they don't want to do again. Final event, and this is the last event that we're going to be talking about today. Like I said, the Masters teens and teams, we're going to be getting to those at a later date. We're just talking about the individuals. This has been a long episode already. We are about at the 27-minute mark, so I apologize for the longer episode. You guys can break it into 2 episodes if you want to, maybe your drive to and from work. I don't know. But nonetheless, guys, you know, the five and assy final, the handstand push-ups, the the parallel handstand push-ups, about that 10-11-inch deficit, and then the kettlebell deadlifts, which they had 2 years ago at the CrossFit Games, 203 pounds for the men, 124 for the women, and then the overhead walking lunges with the kettlebells, 53, one and a half poot for the men, 1 poot for the women. It was very exciting to watch personally. I don't know if it was the best final to do, just because, you know, it really wasn't. Again, on the men's side, it was kind of boring to watch, because they just focused on Frazier the whole time. He had just won the title. All he had to do was get 2 rounds into it, and he won the title. So pretty much doesn't matter how people were doing. They focused on him the entire time. So for the men's side, it was really hard to kind of follow that, especially toward the end of the weekend when they're kind of focusing on one athlete. On the women's side, complete opposite. It couldn't have meant more. I played the part of the final last week on the podcast. You guys want to go check it out, when Brandon Domain called that epic finish to the final with Cara Webb and Tia Claire Toomey right down to the wire. Man, what an exciting event and what an exciting thing it was to see. And it was very cool. I'm going to put it out there right now, because I said earlier on that I was going to give you my most exciting event to watch for the women. This was it. No questions, hands down. I love this event for the women. For the men, it really wasn't too exciting. We already knew who won. That's really all people cared about during the men. For the women, this is where it was at. If you guys want to get hype, man, go back on YouTube, wherever the archives are, and watch the final women's heat of this event. Absolutely epic. I loved it. I will go back millions and millions, maybe not millions, but a lot of time, and listen to Brandon Domain call this epic final between Cara Webb and Tia Claire Toomey. For the men, what was my most exciting event to watch? I love the 1 rep max snatch. I love seeing guys lift heavy weight. I love seeing all the weight being, you know, poured out. I love seeing guys challenge themselves, PRing, getting those 300-pound snatches, the 305-pound snatches. I love guys, you know, that competition where, yes, you get into the final, but then it turns up a little notch. You got to do a little bit more than you thought you were going to have to do. That was my The worst event that I thought was the cyclocross event, and that's just purely for the fact that the equipment malfunctions. I didn't think I liked the concept of it. I really did enjoy them trying to add more things, and apparently the bikes that they used were bikes from a local bike shop. So I thought it was very unique and very cool to kind of get the city of Madison all involved in that as well. But for the most part, I didn't like that event. I don't think that your equipment malfunction should be the reason why you do or do not do well in an event ever in CrossFit. I don't think that should be a thing. They should have had bikes. If they were to do it again, if they had random bikes along the race that athletes could just grab if something happened to them and just get right on there, I think that would have been a game changer, and you would have seen a lot more things change throughout the weekend. But guys, that's going to do it for my, man, a long review of all the events. I know this was a long episode, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys, you know, really, you know, got some insight on my insight. These are just my opinions. I have no reason. I've never programmed anything in my life except for workouts for myself, but most of those are programmed by Ben and the Ben Smith Blueprint. But guys, giving you an announcement. We said it, we teased it at the beginning of the episode. We are going to be giving away a pair of Stan socks this weekend. That's right. So make sure you guys stay tuned to our Facebook page, The Big Red Express, this weekend for a chance to win a free pair of Stan socks. You guys just have to go over to our Facebook page, turn on the like button, or just press the like button and then turn on the follow button so you get notifications when we post stuff so you guys can have your chance to win. We're going to be doing that giveaway throughout the entire week, so you got plenty of time to tune in. Go like us on Facebook, Twitter, and of course, while you're at it, subscribe to this podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating and a review. Helps us out so much. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Until next week, next Wednesday, we're going to be talking about much more stuff. We're going to try to get a couple athletes on it, going to get their recap. We're going to get a spectator's opinion on the CrossFit Games and much, much more. More stuff coming up here on the Big Red Express. We're in the off season, but things are still kicking in full gear. Thanks, guys, so much. Have a great rest of your week. We will talk to you next Wednesday.